This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
It's difficult talking to everyone about what's happening in our nation now, or maybe it's not difficult talking about it, just as it was not very difficult. And it was almost impossible to ignore the events from early May through November. In fact, since last March, it's been one thing after another. So we ask, what is God doing through all of this? It might be good to go back and look at what God has done before during times of a great national crisis. Let's not focus too much on what he did when Israel and Judah completely disregarded him, because that was when he had the Babylonians invade. We would get a more accurate picture of what God did when the people were in disarray if we look at the time in the book of Judges. Does anyone remember the last words of the book of Judges? Okay. It says in Judges 21, verse 25, "In those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did whatever seemed right to him." Some excellent biblical scholarship puts the time of the judges from 1350 to 1014 BC. We might also remember that some of the judges that the Lord sent in some ways mirrored the offbeat nature of the behavior of the people. Remember Jephthah and his foolish vow, or Samson and some of his somewhat bawdy behavior. Does this sound somewhat similar to our present time? What needs to be pointed out here is that the high priest Eli was in office starting at about 1134 BC, which is roughly 66 years before the end of the period of the judges. So Eli was right in there during this time. We also need to keep in mind that the book of Judges is roughly in chronological order, which means the last few chapters of the book of Judges were among the last things that took place in that era. And this is the time when the Israelites went to war against their own over the incident of Micah and the Danites and the dismemberment of the concubine. And idolatry was also a part of this corrupt scene. So Israel was in a pretty low moral and ethical state at that time. Now, the time of Samuel begins in about 1094 BC. And I know there's a lot of dates here I'm throwing around, but what you have to remember here is that Samuel's time was at about the same time as those last couple of chapters in the book of Judges. We may recall that at the beginning of the book of Judges, or at the beginning of the book of Samuel, Eli was showing his weakness as a leader. His sons as priests were molesting the women who came to the tabernacle and stealing the people's sacrifices. Then when the Philistines invade, they take the Ark of the Covenant with them, get routed, and the Philistines capture the Ark. In the process, Eli's two sons are killed. Phinehas, one of Eli's sons, was married, and his wife had a baby. Upon finding out that Phinehas was dead, she doesn't pay any attention to her son's birth and gives the baby the name Ichabod, which means the glory of the Lord has departed. Eli falls backwards at the word of the ark's capture. These events take place at the conclusion of the timeline for the book of Judges, as we've already mentioned. So, what does all of this mean for us in terms of understanding what God is doing right now? It means this. First of all, it means fear not. Why? It's because at the time of some of the most gross corruption in the nation of Israel, when depravity was running amok, when idolatry was more or less the norm, and when people were so disgustingly morally relativistic, God was still in the process of finding a man for himself who would begin the process of purging the nation of its sin. And that's where we have our Old Testament reading for today. Let's reread it. 1 Samuel 3, verses 1 through 10. "The boy Samuel served the Lord in Eli's presence. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and prophetic visions were not widespread. One day, Eli, whose eyesight was falling, was lying in his usual place. Before the lamp of God had gone out, Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was located. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me?" "I didn't call," Eli replied. "Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Once again, the Lord called, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "I didn't call, my son," he replied. "Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, because the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Once again, for the third time, the Lord called Samuel. He got up, went to Eli, and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli understood that the Lord was calling the boy. He told Samuel, "Go and lie down. If he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came, stood there, and called as before, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel responded, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Let's look at these verses and see what they say to us in our time now. Verse 1. Now it's awesome that the boy Samuel was serving the Lord and doing so under the ministry of Eli, the priest. Yet the second half of the verse is very telling. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and prophetic visions were not widespread. Now, I know that if any of you have been following the internet press, as it were, reading the stories put forward by many evangelicals who claim to be prophets, that more than one of them claimed that they had a word from the Lord, that the current president would get a second term. Well, at present, apart from some major development, that's not going to happen. Now, that may be disappointing to some, and then there are others who think that's a good thing that he's not going to have a second term. But how this short line in 1 Samuel relates to us is that a word from the Lord was rare and prophetic visions were not widespread. The truth is that that short phrase speaks loudly about today. God's word is nearly completely shut out of the public square, and those who claim to speak for him are either ignored or ridiculed. The church's influence on this nation is at an extremely low level right now. So, does this look like our present time? Does what's happening in the book of Judges then resemble right now? And I would say that it probably does. Now, in verses 2 to 3, Eli was lying down, and Samuel was as well. So, they're resting. But verses 4 to 5 are where it gets interesting. Then the Lord called Samuel and answered, and he answered, "Here I am." Now he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me?" Now there are two things here. The Lord calls to Samuel, but Samuel doesn't recognize the voice of the Lord. And here's where it gets personal for us. Do we recognize the voice of the Lord calling to us? And a second question that's pretty relevant: how do we know it's the Lord instead of our flesh with a strong impression telling us to do what we want to do? Or how do we know it's not the adversary using the word of God to mislead us? Well, how do we know? Well, you have to verify that with other verses in the word of God. Now, the text explains Samuel's issue for us in verse 7, where we're told that Samuel didn't yet know the Lord. This is why it's important for all of us to truly to get to know the Lord personally. And unfortunately, I have to tell you that there are no shortcuts to this process. This process involves worship in a local church, however it has to happen, be it virtual or physical, personal devotions and Bible study, prayer, even fasting, and fellowship with other believers. And those are the only ways this can happen where we can gain spiritual maturity and insight and get to know God so personally we would recognize his voice when we hear it. Now, to his credit, Samuel actually did the right thing. He went to see Eli. "Here I am, you called me," he said. Samuel went to his mentor and spiritual authority to answer the voice. Granted, from what we know about Eli, he wasn't the best example. But at the time, that was the only one Samuel had. But for us, it's completely appropriate to seek out the input of a spiritual leader when we think we discern that we've heard the Lord's voice. Go to your priest or pastor. Go to an elder or someone you trust who's a mature believer and talk to him about it. Now, the problem here is that Eli didn't immediately recognize that it was the Lord. It took two more times of Samuel running into Eli and saying, "Here I am." This part speaks to the need for the present day shepherds to be able to recognize when someone we know believes they're receiving a call from God for something. How does the shepherd recognize it's from God? Well, it's the same for the shepherd as with us and a layperson. It relates to the closeness of the shepherd's walk with God as well. The shepherd has to be in tune with the Lord, and the Holy Spirit's gifts need to be in operation. But there's a process here that we can see. Yes, Eli was not the best example, but Samuel did do the right thing by going to his mentor. Okay, so let's understand that. Now, finally, Eli figures out that it's the Lord calling, and he tells Samuel to reply, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Now, lest we be too hard on Eli for not recognizing it's God's voice at first, many of us have that issue as well. It may take 2, 3, 4 times for God to speak to us before we finally recognize that it's God's voice. But in reality, sometimes that's not bad, because that means we're taking time to discern whether or not it's really the Lord or whether or not it's just what we want to hear. Does everybody get the distinction between those two things, whether or not it's God or whether it's something our flesh wants to hear? So let's not be too hard on Eli, even though he still wasn't the best example. Now, Eli finally figured it out, and Samuel goes and he answers appropriately. Now, folks, there are three things we need to remember from this passage today. God is still God, and Jesus is still the head of his church. That's one. The second thing is this: the Lord is still at work, raising up people to be his messengers even now. The call has gone out, and we have to believe that. God has not left us to deal with all of this alone. So, who are these prophets? Well, we will know them by their fruit. For one, if they've really heard the word of the Lord, and they really are a prophetic voice of God, they won't be wrong. The third thing is this: we need to be prepared to listen when he calls us to do what he wants us to do. The moral climate and idolatry then are similar to now, but we are not likely to get and may not get a call like Samuel's, where we audibly hear the Lord's voice. We may not have another Samuel or an Elijah get raised up in our generation. We may not even get another Apostle Paul or even another Dwight Moody. But he will raise up servants who are humbly willing to be his messenger wherever he sends us, whether it's a hospital, a retail store, an ESL school, or wherever. But wherever it is, our task is to be faithful and say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.